How's it going, guys? This is Scott McKay from XMY Communications, and you're about to listen to episode number 39 of the Chick Whisperer Show. We've got a really good topic for you today. It's on how to get touchy-feely with women, all about touching women. We're going to talk about the whole idea of escalating kino and if that's a good thing or not so good thing and how kind of to spin it to make sure it definitely is a good thing. But before we get to that, I have a huge announcement for you. As of September 1st, the date this show is released, you can go to www.themansapproach.com and download a special report entitled 5 Things Women Wish You Knew When Approaching Them. That's going to give you insight into the female mind, and in just 8 minutes of reading, you're going to be able to get something you've never had before in the skill department, in the knowledge department, that will probably help you approach women a lot more easily for the rest of your life. It's just 8 minutes worth. Go to www.themansapproach.com to get your hands on that report. It's free when you log in. And that can only mean, gentlemen, that the Man's Approach program for regular guys who don't want to be pickup artists, you know, guys who just drink beer, drive pickup trucks, listen to rock and roll, guys like you and me, who just want a great woman in their life, finally have a program that's a complete toolkit for how to meet women, start conversations with them, make plans to see them again. Plus, I've got a lot of different extras in there, including the 14 ways women define masculinity. This is how you really ignite a woman. Also, some ways that you can plan a get-together with a woman that won't cost you a lot, but will make her want to touch you first, kind of in keeping with what we're going to be talking about today on this show. And also, there's another very special round table that Emily put together with two of her best friends, where these women, I mean, they spilled their guts. They told all about what it takes for them to become physically, sexually aroused. We're talking physiologically. When they're on a date with a guy or even when they meet him. This is something you're never, ever going to hear out of a woman's mouth on her own, her just volunteering this information to you. But we had these three women actually share this information. How valuable is that going to be to you? The Man's Approach is going to be very different than anything you've ever seen from any pickup artist out there. We're going to break down for you exactly the good, solid, character-based ways that real men like you and I can meet real high-quality women. I'm sure you're going to love it. That drops on September 10th, 2010, just 10 days from now. So be ready for it and gather up all those special reports, including this first one that I just told you about in the meantime. Okay, guys, now without anything further, here's episode number 39 of the Chick Whisperer Show. My good friend Bill Preston from PUA Forums is my guest. I think you're really going to like him. He's a good guy. So all right then, without anything further, fire up. Here we go.
You're listening to the world-famous Chick Whisperer podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Okay, here we are, episode number 39 of the Big Old Chick Whisperer Show. It's known worldwide for being the place where you're going to find the no fluff zone. This is the fluff free zone. We're going to talk about everything you need to get better with women starting right now. It's called Results in Advance, gentlemen. And today I've got a particularly good topic for you. As a matter of fact, this is one that I just can't believe we have not covered in 39 episodes of this show and, frankly, 45 episodes of X and Y on the fly also. It's touching women. The whole idea of kino and whether that's creepy and whether it's not, if there's good ways to do it, bad ways to do it, and also touching women even after you're in a relationship with them. I mean, you just go around whacking them on the butt or whatever. Well, those are the kind of things we're going to talk about today. And I have none other than one of my very good friends, Bill Preston from PUA Forums with me all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. Bill, man, it's great to have you on the show finally. I know it's a long time coming. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great, Scott. Thanks for having me, man. I'm sure this is going to be awesome.
Let's see. It's late August as we do this show. Got to be about a buck 50 down there right
now. You know, it's pretty warm. I think we've got monsoon season, so it cools off at night. But yeah, during the day, it's about 110, which is pretty awful.
Beautiful. And, you know, I should talk. We're here in San Antonio, Texas, where you can fry eggs on the sidewalk also. So, no wonder we're both sitting here in the air conditioning having a podcast today instead of going outside and playing golf or something.
No, no doubt.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm excited about the show today. You are the owner and chief guru meister over at PUA Forums. And I know a lot of guys are already going to start asking, hey, you know, this guy PUA Forums, is he some kind of raging pickup artist? Actually, you talk more about relationships than you do pickup. In just about everything you do, you have some really impressive takes on things, and you're even in a long-term relationship yourself, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I kind of use my site to backdoor people into becoming a better man, because most people are just – they think their answer is to become a pickup artist or to learn some routines or a pickup line or something. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's going to get you a little bit of success, but nothing compared to actually, you know, improving who you are, which is really what you focus on. So In some ways, I kind of trick people into improving themselves.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, with the seduction community and everything, there's a lot of good stuff going on out there. It's not like everybody's teaching guys tricks and tactics and disrespecting women. There's a lot of good solid stuff out there. But I was just talking to someone the other day, Bill. I don't know if you'd agree with this or not. Maybe good to get your take on it. It seems like a lot of the teaching is taking guys who may have, we've all been born men, but we go through life and we're given kind of expectations by society to kind of act a little bit more neuter, soften things up, treat women in a different way than we would like to at our core. And we find ourselves in the just be friend zone or not knowing what to say to women, trying not to offend them, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we've talked about all this on the show before. But I think the kicker is a lot of times guys are trying to teach men, you know, guys who would be dating gurus out there, teaching men how to put more layers on top of this to get around it. In other words, okay, you're neuter, so we're going to teach you this tactic or this skill that's going to kind of either camouflage that or make up for it. And I think, you know, the simplicity of it that people overlook is if you just remove the bad programming, you'll be a man underneath, and that man who is masculine will naturally attract femininity.
Yeah, I think a lot of the techniques you're referring to are almost like band-aids to go over your inner wuss, right? Because society, you watch every TV show, you watch commercials, you know, we're kind of taught to be wussies, and I don't think we naturally are. So this stuff is a way to mask that until you can actually bring your true masculinity out. And I don't mean being macho. I mean, you know, and I don't mean being a jerk or a bad boy. I mean, I'm super nice with women, but at the same time, I have my boundaries, I have expectations. You know, and I'm very masculine, but at the same time, I'm not a jerk. I'm actually very friendly and very love giving. That's what a lot of the pickup guys try to get them to, like I said, by putting kind of a band-aid on the wussy inside the guy.
Yeah. And, you know, both you and I have really good solutions for that, which we'll talk about at the end. But, you know, what I think I want to do now, speaking of not being a wuss and just coming right out with your intentions with a woman and your expectations for her, I want to get to a great voicemail. I mean, I really enjoyed this voicemail. It came from Eric from California, and it goes a little something like this.
Hey, Scott. I'm a big fan of the show, Chick Whisperer, man. Been listening for a long time. My name's Eric. I'm from Tulare, California. I have a question for you. See, I'm a full-time employee. I work probably about 60, 70 hours a week, man, day in and day out. And I've gotten to the point where I don't really have time to have a real full-out, full-blown relationship. So I'm really interested on just something on the side, you know. But there's really no nice way to say that. If you have any advice for me, man, all is appreciated. Thanks.
Man, you know, Bill, I can relate big time to having worked 60 or 70 hours a week. I mean, you know, that's 10 hours a day. 7 days a week. You don't have time for just about anything but working for the man when you're doing that. So I can understand how Eric wouldn't want to be kind of leading a woman on. It sounds like he's a pretty decent guy. He doesn't want to lead the woman on into thinking, hey, I'm going to have all this time. I'm going to be able to move mountains and deprioritize everything I've got going on. But he's looking for a way to tell a woman he quote unquote wants something on the side. And he says there's not a nice way to say that. Well, what's your take on that whole situation?
You know, first of all, Eric, congratulations for not only trying to improve yourself by working 80 hours a week and doing whatever it takes to kind of bust your ass to make it in this world, but also trying to balance that by having some sort of relationship. Now, obviously, it's hard to have a real relationship because I don't know too many women that are going to, you know, really just sit around while you're working 80 hours a week, at least, you know, unless you're married or something like that. It's really not going to happen if you're first dating as a relationship. And what I really think of when I listen to your message or your question was it's not unlike having a normal job and maybe dating 3, 4, 5 women. You still have a real time management issue. And so putting that back into my life when I was single and when I was enjoying dating multiple women, it really is about expectations. You know, it's really two things. It's setting expectations, but also when you are spending time with them, that it's something fun. It's not boring. You're not doing like boyfriend, girlfriend type things. You know, you're taking them on mini adventures. So the, maybe the 4 hours a week you spend with them or the 8 hours a week is something they really, really cherish. And then also almost as important is the expectations. Now, women are a lot more resilient than I think we give them credit for, and I guarantee most guys give them credit for. They think that every woman is just looking for a relationship. Every woman wants to get married. And, you know, at some point, I think a lot of them do. But it reminds me of what I learned to tell women when I wasn't interested in just being exclusive, but I wanted to continue to date multiple women. And I learned this from a really good friend of mine who was dating, coincidentally, a really super hot model, but he just got good with women and he wanted to continue to date other women at the same time. I personally thought he was crazy because this girl was so smoking hot. But this is what he told her, and I started using this myself, and I hope this can help. He told her, and I'm not going to use her name, but he said, "Hey, you know, I really appreciate spending time with you. I love being around you, but I'm at a point right now in my life where it's important to me to date other women." Now, in his case, that was what he said. But in your case, you could say, "I'm at a point in my life right now where it's important to me to work really hard and try to make something of myself." And then the real kicker on the end was, you know, "It would really be a shame to lose you. I would hate to not have you as a friend, but this is where I'm at in my life right now, and it's really important to me." And I think, you know, Scott, you can chime in, but I think that's the type of message you want to give women when you just don't have time for a full-fledged relationship.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, first of all, dude, you just tacked on 10 more hours to the guy's schedule. I mean, this poor guy's already working 70 hours a week, and you just said 80 twice. Man, I'm already sleepwalking just thinking about this poor guy's life. But, you know, you also said something extremely key, and this just can't flow under the bridge without being emphasized. And that's, you really can't be needy and clingy and kind of give this woman too much attention and be too available for her and fall into that trap if you just don't freaking have the time. So, I mean, he's got like a built-in safety net from kind of losing his value. You mentioned making his time with her special and her kind of, I guess, cherishing the time with him a little bit more than maybe she would if he was, you know, retired or something and had all day long to kill. Man, you know, that can be something that you can parlay into a tremendous advantage. Because let's face it, if you have all the time in the world for a woman and she's not interested in seeing you and she's not interested in spending that kind of time with you anyway, then what difference does it make whether you're working 70 hours a week or not? And, oh, by the way, when you're first getting to know a woman, and I would argue for a long time thereafter, it's good only to see her for a select amount of time a week. That makes her desire for you stronger. I think that's an incredible point that you just made. And, you know, the other thing, Bill, that I want to make sure we absolutely cover is the core of the guy's question, which was, is there a nice way to say this? Well, what I would say, Eric, is think out of the box a little bit and don't think in terms of having to be quote unquote nice. Just be direct, be honest. I mean, you're not telling her you don't want her. You're not telling her that it's her fault or something that you're not going to be able to see her. This is just the way it is. And women are human beings just like us. They actually don't like it when we beat around the bush. They like us to tell the truth. And you basically just say, "All right, look, I'm a guy who's, just like Bill said, very busy. And I'm only going to have a certain amount of time to visit with you every week. It has nothing to do with how much I'd like to visit with you. It's just a sheer fact." The one thing I would focus on here is you kind of use the choice of words, getting something on the side or having something on the side. I would pick better words than that. I think it's a matter of wording and maybe being a little bit more tactful than just spelling out something that says, "Hey, I'm looking for a booty call. Are you in or are you not?" Because even if she is game for something purely sexual, and just like you said, Bill, a lot of women aren't exactly looking to walk down the aisle tomorrow. I mean, a lot of women are stereotypically acting like men nowadays, believe it or not, especially as they're single moms in their 30s. You know, they can be pretty frisky pretty early. What are some ways you think, Bill, that this guy could address that with some tact?
You know, he needs to kind of reframe it in his own mind even. If he can actually come to his own conclusion that he's looking for a woman to do fun stuff with, and you guys go out, maybe you go to the bar and watch the football game, or all your friends are meeting to shoot pool and you bring her along, or, you know, whatever it is that's fun. If you can bring a woman to kind of be your fun person to hang out with, you're going to get all the things that you really want. But really, you should primarily focus on having a good time, because A, you're going to have more fun. B, she's going to stick around longer, because not only are you the guy that's really cool to hang out with and you do fun things, but you're satisfying her sexually, which is what women need also. So I think reframe it in your own mind, and that way you come across much more congruent with the women that you are talking to or seeing.
Yeah, man, it's not your problem and it's not her problem. It's just life. As a matter of fact, I've gone out with plenty of women who were single moms and had full-time jobs. And look, the kids came first after the job happened all day. I mean, I was pretty far down the priority list. And that was fine. That gave me a chance to meet and interact and go out with some other women. And hey, that's just the way it was. And there's nothing you can do about it. And believe me, she's going to understand. She's going to be cool with that. Most people these days are busy. So, Eric, bottom line, I don't think there's a whole lot you've got to worry about here. Basically, just let women know the way it is up front. But a major caveat, make sure you do tell them the way it is up front. Don't lead them on into thinking there's going to be a situation that you can't follow up on. Don't write a check you can't cash there, in other words. But I think we pretty much covered this one. Good stuff for you there. And you know, Eric, it's our custom here on the Chick Whisper program to award every guy whose voicemail is selected for use on the program with something really, really cool. And you know what? This isn't going to be any exception. Bill, what do you got for this guy?
You know, I have a program called The Vibe, which really kind of summarizes every single thing that I would do, you know, even before I'd go out, but especially while I was out and talking to women and, you know, even getting into deep conversations with women and ways I'd touch them and stand next to them and the exact conversations I would have all the way up until if I wanted to get their number or if I wanted to take them home. And then I even talk about all my strategies for dating and follow up and relationships. And it's really, if you could think of it as if somebody plugged their mind into mine and I just downloaded every single thing I knew and did when it came to, you know, meeting and talking and having relationships with women, it's pretty much it.
Wow, that's amazing. And you're going to fork over the entire program to them.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I try to make it accessible for everybody. And I certainly, you know, he sounds like this guy's at a place in his life where it could really help him. So I'd be happy to give it to him.
Right on. And you know what? I set up a special URL, as I usually do, just so other guys can check out The Vibe also. And you can do that at www.thechickwhisperer.com/Preston, which is my man Bill here's last name, P-R-E-S-T-O-N. And get you some. It's a really, really good program. Even the website's really cool to look at. And I know, Bill, you also have a program coming out probably about a month after this show is released. So if you guys are listening to this sometime in the far-flung future, look for something called The Guru Black Book. And I'm proud to say I'm a guest on that program. And believe me, there was some incredible original programming and content that you pretty much weasel out of me on that interview. So those guys can look forward to some good stuff. I think it's time we talk about this whole idea of touching women, though, Bill. There's a lot of focus on Kino, especially in the seduction community, which is kind of something that goes a lot like this. You get a woman on a date, and a lot of people say it's important to establish kinesthetic touch. You've got to touch a woman, or there's not going to be any kind of connection, physical or otherwise. And the way to do that is to kind of, you know, tap her on the shoulder if she says something funny, and then kind of move that to touching her on the hand, then maybe touch her on the elbow, maybe escort her across the street, you know, if you're walking downtown, and then let that turn into a handhold, and you're basically escalating her to something sexual.
Right. You know, let me touch on one thing that's really on the tip of my mind. And I think, you know, if guys are scared to even initiate that, let me paint a picture, emphasize why it's important to, as you said, escalate and not just have it be more of a step function. Think of how weird it would be if you were talking to somebody for, you know, 45 minutes. And for the first half hour or even 40 minutes, they were away from you. There was no good body language. There was no touching. And then after 40 minutes, for the last 5 minutes of it, they're just groping you or touching you. It just is completely awkward. So to your point, Scott, it's really important to start off really innocently early and then just continue the touch. And you don't have to necessarily escalate how you're touching them, but you got to kind of make sure that you do it early enough where it just doesn't seem weird as it comes on after 40 minutes.
Okay, well, let's back up just for a second.
Yeah.
What do you think is psychologically behind this presumption or assumption, whatever you want to call it, that if we don't start touching a woman early and often, we're going to blow it. We're going to be in the just friend zone or something.
You know, I don't know if you're going to be in the just friend zone, but you're going to set off a trigger in her mind where something is not consistent. Because you know, the first time you're hanging out with somebody, they're soaking in everything about you, how you sit, how you look at them, how you talk. And they're really kind of formulating an opinion on the type of person you are. And once that's solidified, and then all of a sudden you change who you are, and now you're touching them. Maybe now you're more intimate. Maybe now you're doing things that are completely inconsistent with who they think you are. It's going to set off some alarms in their head.
You know what? I'm just going to lay it on the line. I think a lot of times the biggest mistake any of us make in the dating world, and this is something that crosses gender boundaries, men and women both do this, is we're so busy trying to get what we want that we forget to represent to the other person what that person's looking for. So guys are trying to get some off of women. They're trying to get them into bed. So how can I get her to do what I want, which is have sex with me? So I think there's something disingenuous about the whole escalation thing if your whole point by starting to touch her on the shoulder is because you want to pound her brains out and we're moving up the scale to get to that point sooner than later. You see what I mean? You see kind of like how that could be creepy?
Absolutely. And I'd never think of it that way, which maybe, you know, paints the picture of what's going on in my head, which is not I'm touching her so that I can get a result, or I'm touching her so it's not weird later or whatever. I just naturally have found that I touch a lot more people. And especially kind of how you touch them. It's, you know, I touch my friends, like guys that I'm hanging out with. You know, if we're in a bar and it's crowded, I'll kind of, you know, tap them on the shoulder, lean in and whisper something. Or, you know, it's more of a way you conduct yourself. Mm-hmm. And it becomes very beneficial as you're talking to women if you're that type of person. Now, a great example of how you can do this without being creepy and without actually having any objective in mind is maybe you're going up to a bar with a woman and you don't want to grab her. You don't want to do anything weird. You don't want to ever move her physically, in a way that kind of unsettles her. But maybe if you guys are ordering and you're thinking about what you want to order and you're both facing the bar, your hips are kind of side by side, it's actually really nice to kind of put your arm around her, gently touch maybe her lower back and whisper in her ear, hey, so, you know, I was thinking about getting a martini. What do you recommend or something? It's not creepy. It's not sexual. You have nothing in mind except for ordering a martini and getting her opinion. But it's a way to kind of generate a ton of rapport with her and get her used to you touching her almost like a boyfriend would touch her. But it's not in a creepy way, or it's not aggressive. It's not forced. It's something that can be very innocent, actually.
Yeah. You know what? You brought up something extremely interesting, and that's you whisper in her ear. I think a lot of times we as guys are so hung up on getting sexual that we forget that women think more sensually than sexually. I mean, women are into bubble baths and luxurious spa treatment and things like that. And make no mistake about it. Anybody with their eyes open, who's not sleepwalking through life, can figure out women like to be touched. I mean, if you have someone who's, you know, back's hurting and you just go up and give her a back rub, she'll let you give her the back rub unless she just finds you incredibly disgusting. And women love to go have their nails manicured and they love to go get massages. I mean, if you go in a massage joint, 80% of the people walking in out of the door are women. Women like to be touched, and they like to be touched by guys they're attracted to, and they like to be touched by guys they're comfortable with to the point that they don't feel like they're going to be used. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing this pushy thing, and make no mistake, Bill, you and I both know there's guys out there teaching this. Kind of get women to allow you to touch them here and then kind of push the envelope a little bit. It goes back to the compliance thing, you see. And a lot of guys, when I say I'd rather have a willing woman than a compliant woman, they say, oh, it's the same thing. Well, it is not the same thing. Because if I take my 150 horsepower motorcycle on the interstate and a cop pulls up behind me, I'm going to be going 60 miles an hour because I'm compliant, not because I'm willing.
Right.
You see, so I don't want women to become my robots. They're doing what I want them to do either because I've somehow tricked them into thinking that they have to do that for my approval or preying on their low self-esteem or something. You know what I want, Bill, and I want your opinion on this. I want them to be dying to touch me. I want them to be dying to be touched. So when you go and you do something sensual rather than sexual, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. It's not creepy, but you whisper in her ear, and that whisper just makes her tingle.
You're dead on, because I actually did that to a woman I just met. I came up and, you know, we'd kind of made eye contact, and I walked up and she was at the bar. I came up beside her and I just kind of you know, I let her know I was there. I didn't just come up and grab her, but I kind of leaned in and started kind of talking to her because it was a little bit crowded. And I kind of, you know, it was really crowded. So I kind of put my hand and just barely touched her lower back as I was talking to her. And then we went into another part of the bar and had our drinks together. And the reason why I'm telling this story is something really interesting happened. I didn't actually have to escalate too much because I'd set the frame that I'm a touchy person. I'm a sexual touchy person or a sensual touchy person. And we sat across from each other. And every once in a while, I'd ask, you know, make a comment on something, maybe her hands, and I'd look at her ring, or, you know, we were just having a great conversation, and she ended up moving next to me and immediately kind of put her hand on my knee, you know, and as we're talking, she's kind of like making little gestures, you know, kind of pawing at me a little bit in the way that women do of a guy that they like. And it really became, you know, just her touching me and her actually completely escalating what we'll call Kino. But I think it was critical, and I actually asked her about this earlier. When did you think that you liked me? And she said, well, when you came up and you were whispering in my ear and I could feel your hand, you know, kind of touching my back really gently, she said it completely made her attracted to me.
Sensuality. And yeah. I love the fact that once you knew she was attracted to you, you went and got the information from her. What did I do right?
That's key.
That's a great thing to do after you've had a great first kiss with a woman or a great first date or been intimate with a woman, is just to kind of go, hey, you know, I'm curious. When did you know that it was on between you and I? And they'll tell you at that point.
Absolutely.
And it's great, great information to have. Yeah, this is a great conversation because I think it's really frying some guys' circuits out there who've been taught, all right, well, this is how you get a woman to give you what you want. What you are doing when you acknowledge sensuality rather than going for sexuality is you give this tremendous double whammy in a good way to a woman. First of all, you show her that you get it in terms of how women think, right? And what women want. And that makes you, well, it positions you really as a guy who's ready to, well, let's just spell it out, satisfy a woman. Second of all, because you're not like the other guys, because you didn't just start pawing her up or you didn't start, you know, talking about sex and, you know, God forbid, working quote unquote sexual innuendo into the conversation as if that's going to impress a woman. Guys, just go outside and hang that one up. That's not going to help you. Okay. That's for us as guys to laugh about. That's not something you do to attract a woman. But when you come and you understand that sensuality comes first, that shows the woman that you're not starving sexually. Mm-hmm. Not only do you get it, but that you're not desperate to get some. And see, that's the kind of information that at the human level, at the cognitive psychological level, starts planting the seed inside a woman that you are definitely in her league. Now it's up to her to make sure she's in your league.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of, everyone's heard of sexual tension, right? That's the tension between, you know, two people that find each other sexually attractive, but they haven't actually released it. So it's almost like a balloon full of hot air. The longer it continues to grow, the bigger it gets. Now, as soon as you do something sexual, it's going to deflate or pop that. So it's really powerful to keep that. Well, the same thing can be applied, and we'll call it sensual tension, where she's not sure where you're going with it. She knows you're kind of attracted, but you haven't released that tension. And so you can continue to build the sensual interaction with her. And it's going to be an amazing experience. And I'll tell you what, I have a little bit of a confession. This whole last minute resistance or, you know, injecting the sexual terms and doing all these things that just seem kind of weird and unnatural to me. And I guarantee women find them unnatural. They probably just put up with them because they decided they want to sleep with you. It's just totally foreign to me, because if you can create a sensual frame and build sensual tension with a woman to the point where she decides that she wants to be intimate with you. Now, whatever that means is between you and her, but she will decide that. And frankly, when she does, you're just going along for the ride, because she will do whatever it takes to make it happen. So all this last minute resistance, you know, tricking her to come up to your apartment and all this other stuff doesn't apply, because eventually if you do everything right, she's going to actually say, you know what, let's get out of here. And she might even drag you. Exactly. She might actually take your hand and lead you out of the club or the bar or the lounge and take you back to her place.
Probably. So, I mean, almost definitely. I mean, probable is almost too soft a word. You know, here's the deal. I think it's time for us to stop and trust that women are sexual beings, and that if we are masculine, that masculinity is going to create sexual polarity with femininity. You see, you don't have to get women to do anything. If she's attracted to you, and note this, she's comfortable in your presence, she trusts you, it's on. All you got to do is not be pushy and enjoy the ride. You know, this sexual tension, this sensual tension that you coined that I really like. You know, guys, for God's sake, enjoy it. Enjoy this. This is fun stuff. You know, so many guys, they get a woman in their bedroom and they, these are the same guys who are going in the bathroom whacking off at Victoria's Secret catalogs. As soon as they get the girl in her underwear, the underwear comes flying off as quickly as the shirt and the skirt did. Enjoy this. Unwrap the package. And I'm talking about unwrapping the package from 2 or 3 hours earlier. Women just love this stuff. Women understand this stuff. And when you get it and you start allowing yourself to enjoy it, it's going to change your life. And last minute resistance. Let's camp on that one for a second. To me, last minute resistance should be defined solely as she's playfully saying, oh, I don't know, I don't usually do this, and giggling. Not, hey, buddy, watch your hands. What do you think you're going to do? That shouldn't be anything other than playful. Because if you're getting genuine last minute resistance, in other words, she's not feeling good with this, A, you better back off, okay? Or else you're going to find yourself in cuffs. B, you are trying to get what you want and you're not showing any regard for what she wants. And you know what? I'm going to add a C to that. C is, boy, are you missing out in life, Bubba, because if you get a woman ignited and you get her excited sexually and mentally and emotionally about being sexual with you, and you've got a willing woman instead of a compliant woman, man, is your sex life about to go through the roof. She's not going to be lying there spreading her legs going, can we get this over with so maybe you'll be my boyfriend someday? She's going to be sitting on you, grabbing you by the tie and meowing at you and grinding her hips. And you know what? When she does that, you know what I say, Bill? I say, let her wait another half an hour.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? This really reminds me of something. And I just started thinking about this is, you know, I like wine and I don't buy expensive wine, but I have some friends who do. And every once in a while, I'll go over to one of my buddy's house and he has a wine cellar and he'll open, you know, maybe when his wife's not around, he'll open a $200 bottle of wine and I get to enjoy it. Now, that's almost like, And I'm not trying to compare women to wine in any way, but if you had a really, really genuinely awesome woman with you and you had the opportunity to be with her, why would you want to rush that? Why would you want to hurry up and get to the end and just forsake the whole experience? It'd almost be like taking that $200 bottle of wine, pouring a glass, and shooting it. It would make no sense whatsoever. You should enjoy every single drop of that. And going back to my analogy with the woman, enjoy just kissing her with your clothes on with some music on, or enjoy, you know, as you slowly take her shirt off or whatever you do, and make that whole experience last for 4 hours. Don't try to rush towards the finish line.
You know, it's amazing how women will let you touch them freely. I mean, without any guise of, hey, I'm kind of escalating, I'm kind of moving things forward. Women will just blatantly let you touch them if they're attracted to you and they trust you. And you can just casually mention what's going to happen. And they'll be like, oh, that sounds great. One of the things we talk about is having a woman come over, you know, making dinner for her, whatever, and then giving her a back rub. Just start rubbing her shoulders. Okay. If that woman feels safe with you, you can get her naked and in a bubble bath with you without a whole lot of fuss, because she's not going to be thinking, oh, this is going to turn into sex. She's thinking, man, what an incredibly sensual, lush experience. And she may not even be thinking about the sex when you're sitting there in the bathtub together. And just enjoy the bathtub. Enjoy talking to each other. Enjoy how she smells as you're undressing her. Just enjoy how silky her legs feel in the bathtub with you. And I guarantee you, she's going to be getting hotter and hotter the more you're under control. And listen, women are hardwired to follow our lead. We talk about that all the time, but let's talk about that specifically as it applies to sexuality. If you lead with, I'm going to do for you what you want sensually, she will follow with, all right, you took care of me, I'm going to take care of you. And you know what, guys? It isn't so much that women are taking care of you sexually. It's when you give them what they want sensually, that turns into sexuality for them. And then you get the sexuality you want from them. So instead of, give me the sex, it should be, I'm going to ignite your femininity sensually. Allow that to percolate up into sexuality. And then she's just going to throw it back at you like a ton of bricks. And it's going to be so on. You're going to love it.
That reminds me, and you're dead on, because I met this gal and really, really attractive. We had a fantastic date. It was the type of date where you would say, I want to just bring this girl home, because everything went just perfectly. And it went so good that I really wanted to, almost like sipping the wine, I wanted to enjoy that moment. And so instead of just rushing back to my place, which, you know, may have worked, it may not have, I'm not sure, I walked outside. We were in this little lounge on, I think, 2nd Avenue in New York. And I gave her a really nice kiss. And I whispered to her, you know what, I would love to have you back at my place, but I am just so into you right now. I think we'd both, you know, just go crazy. And I kind of want to just take this a little bit slower than that. And I literally hailed the cab, put her in it. And she left. And obviously her mind is just spinning. She just had this amazing date. She knows I'm into her, but I kind of pushed her away and almost let her marinate on that sensuality that we had. And
you
she even told me
more.
Absolutely. We ended up dating for a while after that. And she had told me the very next day, this is really funny. As she was going to work, I think she worked downtown. She literally missed her subway stop to get off at work because she was just dreaming about, you know, that kiss we had outside of the lounge with the cab coming and everything. And she completely like daydreamed past her stop. Now, if you can do that to a woman, she is going to be so sensually turned on by you that your next date is going to be absolutely fantastic. Now, could I have taken her home? Maybe. Would we have had, you know, an intimate relationship? You know, maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. But by doing that, I put her in just this completely different realm of sensual thought and emotion and made myself completely unique from all the other knuckleheads that maybe she was dating or seeing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you never get any of those firsts with a woman back. So why bundle them all up into 1 5-minute segment of time? You know, I mean, I think you did something incredible there, not only in that you recognized that desire to take it slow because you're enjoying this journey. I think the other thing is you made her absolutely obsess over you that whole next day.
Yep.
She was so interested in seeing you again. You were in control of that relationship. You are the chooser, not the chaser, because you put her in that cab. And that's what cemented the precedent in her mind that you are a leader, you are a man, you're not pushy, you're not clingy. You are the one who makes the decisions, and that turned her on even more. And I'm telling you guys, if you can just, you know, if it's waiting 30 minutes after you know she's sexually into you, what I call the most important 30 minutes in dating, and I've been calling it that since the beginning, the 30 minutes after you know she's attracted to you, if you can just kind of lay back and continue to let that sensual tension percolate there, you're going to get incredible dividends from it. And you let her sit there that whole day thinking about how she can't wait to see you again. Because you're right, all these other knuckleheads are just going after what they want. It's the equivalent on the woman's side of, oh, how do I get this guy to be my boyfriend? Well, you're not going to want to be her boyfriend if all she's doing is trying to get a boyfriend. The harder she is to make your girlfriend, then the more you're going to want her to be your girlfriend. So see, the more you're not about the sex is showing her, man, this guy is just having it thrown at him. Women must love this guy. What am I going to do to earn this guy? And you know what? If we ever did get around to having sex, it's obviously, in capital letters, obviously, not because that's all he wants from me. Otherwise, he would have taken it as quickly as possible and thrown me away.
Right. And to paint the picture, let's look back because that's in the history. And I think any guy will want to paint the same picture for themselves. Here's your options. It's 2 days later. You could either have gone option A, bring her home that first night and had last minute resistance and struggled and have to use all these manipulative techniques and really, you know, maybe had sex with her. But, and if you did, maybe she even feels really bad about it because she rushed into it and, you know, your whole relationship's off to a rocky start. Who knows where it's going to go? That's option A, right? Because you're impatient. Option B, you show her you're patient. You show her you enjoy taking your time. She ends up coming over maybe the next day or 2 days later and literally just ravishes you and treats you as, you know, someone she cannot live without and just wants to be with and wants to be intimate with. And you now are in control of your life and how you want to engage in that relationship. Now, everybody's going to pick the second one. It's common sense. So why are we such knuckleheads about rushing to get the first option?
Because we're not getting fed enough. And that's a vicious cycle because we keep failing to get it.
Yeah, it's definitely a choice people have to make. It's not, you know, it's something you have to be willing to fully commit to and not just skirt around and say, well, I'm going to act like I'm waiting a half hour. I'm going to do this. You have to fully commit to having that type of personality in your dating relationships. And when you actually do, your success is going to be unbelievable compared to what you've had before.
He who understands sensuality will get sexuality in return. I mean, here's another example. I mean, let's just load these guys up with examples. What do you say?
Sure.
If you have a woman in your life and you've gone out on a couple of dates and she trusts you and she likes you to hug her and she likes you to kiss her, it doesn't matter whether you've had sex or not. You call her up on a Saturday morning and go, hey, I'm watching cartoons. Come on over in your PJs. She'll go, okay. And there's guys listening to this podcast right now going, you have got to be freaking kidding me. She's going to come over in her little fuzzy slippers and her little silky PJs and just jump in bed with me and watch cartoons. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Because she trusts you're going to sit there and watch cartoons. But she also knows you're one pillow fight away from, man, just going at it. She knows that. She wants that. You know what she wants? She wants the safety net of the guys of going over there with her PJs to watch television. She knows that if you give her that safety net, if you give her that, let's just call it an excuse to come over and do something that's sort of frisky like that, then when you kind of seduced her into whatever happens next, she's going to go, oh, well, you know, this was kind of unplanned. I just couldn't help myself, but boy, was that fun.
Yeah,
she won't feel like a slut. You won't have set her up for that.
Frankly, she's going to be the one starting the pillow fight more often than not, because she's going to feel safe. She's going to be having a good time, and she's going to want to explore, you know, a deeper relationship with you.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, take careful note of the pajamas she brings. If her pajamas are more like lingerie, it's already on. But even if she does come over and kind of flannel, you know, I love women in pink PJs anyway, but whatever she comes over in, the fact that she's there means in the back of her mind, she has to know a little bit of what to expect. She wants you to touch her a little bit. It's just like when a woman comes over your house at night and watches a movie with you, she knows she's alone in your cave with you. And something is likely to happen that's sexual when you've gone to a guy's house. Not that guys should force their way with a woman, but she knows implicitly by going over your house and you're both alone in the dark together that something may happen. But women love guys who kind of give them this permission to act all innocent about it. And yeah, once something happens like that, you help her feel good about the fact that whatever happened, whether it was kissing or more or whatever, and she's going to love you for it.
Yeah, what you're touching on, I think, is plausible deniability. So she can, in the back of her mind.
Well, I was using simple terms, you know.
In the back of her mind, sorry, is it's a way for her to justify and look back and say, you know what, I didn't go over there to sleep with him. But, you know, he turned out to be a lot more fun than I realized. And, you know, we were both in the moment and it just happened. So she can rationalize that. She doesn't feel like she was easy. She feels like she was being, you know, classy. And it's great because she has that excuse of just coming over to hang out in her pajamas. And you know, what's funny, and I kind of touched on earlier, it's really nice to build that kind of sensual tension or sexual tension or whatever you want to call it. But at some point, her bubble is going to pop and she's going to make it very, very clear that she wants to be intimate with you. And at that point, going back to our discussion earlier about being a man, it's actually kind of your responsibility to address that in some way. Now you can tell her, hey, you know, listen, I'm not really into that right now, or I'm not interested in you, or hey, let's do this. It sounds amazing. Whatever it is, she's putting herself out there. It's your responsibility to man up and acknowledge that and address it in however way you guys both choose to take it. So, you know, I kind of wanted to touch on that because before I was saying, you know, kind of push her away, get her in the cab, all that mm-hmm. stuff. And that's great. But at the same time, you don't want to reject her when she
absolutely.
Has an overt advance because it may not happen again.
Absolutely. I mean, she will absolutely positively feel rejected if she's giving you that sexual permission. And that's exactly what happens. You guys have to watch for that. And if you don't man up and do that, then she's going to leave, slam the door, and you're going to be like, well, what did I do? I was just trying to be a gentleman. Well, when women give you sexual permission, it's time to do something. And if that's to say, hey, look, you know, I guess we've been kind of getting hot and bothered here. I'm saving myself for marriage or whatever your moral leanings are, no matter what it is, or whether you're ready to go at it right then and there, you've got to do something. You've got to acknowledge it. You're absolutely right. I think that's a brilliant point. Before we close, I want to talk about some of the dynamics of touching women, how women like to be touched. And I'd love to kick off the conversation with a simple truth that I have figured out over the years, which is if a woman touches you somewhere, you can touch her in the same place.
Yeah, absolutely true.
If she whacks you on the butt, you can whack her on the butt back. If she's tapping you on the chest, you could probably touch her chest. It's true. I think that's absolutely as infallible as David D's old standby the kiss test where you touch her hair. And if she lets you touch her hair, she'd probably let you kiss her. By the way, that's never failed me either. But I think if a woman touches you somewhere, you can touch her there. So look alive out there because women will start touching you. And even if where she's touching your body isn't so private on your body as it is on her – it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you let me touch on something. Guys, I think most of us, myself included, are kind of idiots in many regards because you just can't – I mean, you can always tell when a girl likes another guy. Oh, she's yeah. touching him. Look at the way she's looking at him. Look at how she's standing. It's so obvious. We can always pick that up. But I guarantee if you're like me, there's been times where women were hitting on you, touching you, playing with you, flirting with you, standing near you, and you were completely oblivious until she left and your boys come up and go, man, that girl was really into you. So my point is, pay attention and look for those signs because she's going to make it abundantly clear that she likes you. And you're right. If she's slapping you in a friendly way, kind of punching your shoulder, giving you the little hip bumps, all these things.
Oh, hip bumps are golden.
She's completely into you and you better reciprocate. You better flirt back and even if you don't like her, man, I'm telling you, one of the keys to getting good with women is to flirt with everybody. Here's a really kind of funny story and I wasn't even doing it on purpose, but I kind of heard about it afterwards. I was playing on a volleyball team. And it was co-ed and most of the girls had boyfriends and, you know, most volleyball players that are women, especially more like kind of competitive, are pretty attractive. They've got great bodies because they're playing, you know, six nights a week. And so I would just flirt with all of them and not on purpose, but, you know, I'd come up and like we'd be talking about a play. I'd put my arm around them, kind of whisper or, you know, just a lot of little things like that. Lots of innocent touching, a lot of whispering, a lot of things that were very innocent in general, but also very, as you kind of coined, you know, kind of sensual interactions. And I ended up dating one of them, and she even told me, she goes, you know, when you first started playing with us, all the girls couldn't believe how, like, flirtatious you were and how touchy you were. And I wasn't flirting at all, but I was just very sensual in terms of I would come up and kind of whisper to them and not anything weird. You know, we'd be talking about volleyball, but it was just the way I conducted myself. And I did that to even girls that maybe weren't the most attractive or had boyfriends. And I asked her, I go, gosh, you know, I feel kind of weird about that. What did they think? And she just smiled, and she goes, every one of them likes it.
Right, because you're not singling out one, so not only is it hard for them to tell which one you like, you all of a sudden don't have to worry about putting yourself out there and saying, oh, I'm showing this particular woman that I'd like her. Maybe she'll accept me or reject me. Because you're flirting with everyone, it's almost like the women will say, well, I bet you say that to all the girls. And that's a better situation to put yourself in than flirting with no one, so that when you do flirt with a woman, it's absolutely a pressure-packed situation.
Yeah, you want to leave them guessing too, because let's say there is one girl that does find you attractive or enjoys your flirting. You know, they're all going to enjoy it on some level, but many of them choose not to respond to it because either they're not interested in you or they have a boyfriend or who knows what their thing is. It has nothing to do with you. If one of them does like you because she's in the right place in her life and you're just the right type of person she wants to, you know, flirt with, and you're doing that with everybody, she's going to really wonder, is he flirting with me because he likes me? Does he do that with everybody? And you're going to become, you know, very intriguing to her. And she's going to really try to test you and play with you and try to get you to flirt more with her. And that engagement and that curiosity is what's going to really kind of fan the flames of attraction also.
Yeah, I want to mention the hip bump again too, because you brought that up and we kind of glossed over it.
Sure.
When a woman comes up and kind of gives you that sideways hip bump, that is the closest thing to public sexual permission that I can think of. Maybe short of whacking you on the butt. But guys, if a woman comes and gives you a hip bump, okay, that was a sexual come on. That means she's hot for you. Women just don't go around hip bumping guys who are in the just be friend zone. I mean, unless they've known each other for years and years and years and he's blatantly harmless. But that's not something women just do.
She might as well be holding up a sign saying, I like you, and showing it to everybody around.
Right.
You know, she's making it very public. That's not a private little thing many times. It's, no. You know, it's a very playful kind of hip bump and a little smile usually comes. And, you know, I advise you to smile back and, you know, you don't necessarily have to hip bump her back right there, but you better at some point to let her know that you understand the game and you want to play it. But this kind of touches on something that I really think is important that maybe most guys don't get. And what's so special about the hip bump is you're doing it with your hips beside each other. Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is a very natural way to stand. If Scott, let's say we're standing somewhere and we're watching something, it's very natural for both of us to be standing facing the same direction. We're at a bar, we're watching a football game, whatever it is. But if for some reason, and this goes whether you're hanging out with your buddies or you're hanging out with a woman you like or anything, if you were facing straight ahead and I was facing right at you, that would feel so creepy for you. Right. You'd just be like, yes. What in the heck is this guy doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys do that all the time. A girl will be facing one way talking to her friends, and I'll be facing right at her, kind of on a 90-degree angle, and it's just creepy. Do not do that. if she's facing towards you, it's okay, but you probably want to be hip to hip first. It gives you that opportunity to kind of lean in and whisper in her ear, like I mentioned. And what's going to happen is eventually she's going to become more interested in you and she's going to turn towards you to fully engage you. Mm-hmm. And now conversely, if you continue to face away from her and now she's 90 degrees towards you, it's going to feel weird for her also, because now she's giving you all this energy and you're not giving her any in return. So at that point, it's really important for you to face her also and then continue your conversation. Little things like that I want people to understand.
Yeah, guys, look, here's the golden nugget of wisdom you're getting here from Bill. Reward playfulness. Reward energy. Don't think you're too cool or you're too much of a man to be playful back with a woman who's playing with you. That is her feminine gift to you, for God's sake. She's trying to show you she's feminine and she's a girl, okay? Enjoy it. Drink it in. You can keep your masculine composure, but reward that playfulness. Invite more of it, because when you do, you know, things are going to go better for you. She's going to feel like you validate and indeed ignite that femininity. Good stuff all around. I mean, you know, guys, grab her hand, you know, across the table and read her palm. Do whatever you're going to do. Escort her across the street. Give her that little dance twirl that I talked about in my David D interview like 4 years ago. Women love all this stuff. I mean, you know, dancing. We didn't even talk about dancing. Dancing involves touching women. It's implied that you're allowed to touch her. Women love situations where it's just going to be implied that you're touching, because it gets her to feel like it's okay that you're touching her and it's perfectly natural. Guys, women love to be touched. That is the whole point of this show, but they only want to be touched by guys who are masculine, that they're attracted to, and who've made them feel safe. So stop being creepy. Stop trying to quote-unquote escalate women into giving you what you want. Guys, relax. Be a man. The women love you. They want to be touched. Let it happen by sending out that vibe of sensuality, having that kind of become sexuality and come right back at you. I mean, it's like planting a seed, watching it grow, and just going and reaping the fruit from it. It's a beautiful way to look at it.
Exactly.
Now, guys, like I said, you got to love what Bill's talking about here, because he's talking about some of the themes that you've heard in the past, but he's talking about it in ways that respect women, that give them the kind of experience that's going to not only gratify them, but is going to get you what you want in terms of success with women all around, without being creepy, without being selfish, without being anything less than a real man. That's the kind of stuff I love to hear. I know it's the kind of stuff you want to hear. So definitely go take a look at Bill Preston's program, The Vibe. I mean, it's right price too. I mean, it's a lot of bang for the buck. www.thechickwhisperer.com/Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N. And I also want to let you know that if you're listening to this program when it first came out around September 1st, you're going to want to go to this brand new URL that I've got, which is themansapproach.com. Be sure to put the in front of it, themansapproach.com. I've got a special report for you that covers things women really wish you knew when approaching them. It's going to blow you away. If you're getting this podcast a few days into the month, say between September 6th and September 10th, you're going to get another report on either what happens when she says she has a boyfriend, what that means, and what to say when she says that to you. I know that's the most dreaded phrase in the world. Or you'll get a special report on a dozen things a woman might say to you to prove that she's into you. You know, we talked about these guys kind of thinking it's too good to be true when a woman's actually flirting with him in a way that if he saw her flirting with another guy, it'd be a no-brainer to him that she was attracted. Guys, you hear any of these phrases and a woman will absolutely be attracted to you. Grab one of those special reports. They're free when you log in. And guess what? That can only mean that the man's approach is coming at you as of September 10th. If you're listening to this podcast after September 10th, you're going to be able to go to themansapproach.com and get that program, video, audio program, special value bonuses. The special value bonuses include 14 ways women define masculinity. We're not talking machismo here, but what women really find attractive. And also, there's another whole program that features all of these different kinds of sensual dates you can set up for almost no money that are going to make women want to touch you first. There's a whole hour on that in there. And we also have a round table with three women where they go ahead and spill the beans on exactly what it is that a man can do when he first meets her or is on a first date with her that makes her physically sexually aroused. Like, you know, when you're sitting across the table, Bill, from a woman and she kind of bites her lip and gives you that little pout and you feel something move in your boxers.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of hard to tell when that's happening for a woman, isn't it? Not anymore. You're going to be a fly on the wall. It was all women in the room. They're going to tell you what you can do to make that happen. I think that's golden information. I'm not even going to talk about the special reports and the videos that I have. All I'm going to tell you is you're going to like the women that I had on as guests in those videos. You're really going to enjoy watching them demo some of this stuff with a friend of mine and myself. It's called The Man's Approach. This is the program for guys like you and me, normal guys who drink beer, drive pickup trucks and fast cars, listen to rock and roll, and want a great woman in our life. But we don't necessarily want to be a quote-unquote pickup artist. We just want great women. We want to have a great woman maybe for the rest of our lives and build a legacy with. But you got to meet her first, and you've got to know what to say to her. You've got to know how to start that conversation, and you got to know how to get her number and make plans. This is probably the first program ever designed for guys who aren't necessarily into pickup or being pickup artists to get the job done. It's called The Man's Approach. You guys have been hammering me for this for years, really, and I finally got a 2x4 upside the head and realized that there really wasn't another program like this, even though there's a lot of Meet Women programs out there. This really is different. www.themansapproach.com. Get you a special report. Get you the program. You're really going to enjoy it. It's got the classic 365-day money-back guarantee if you don't like it. But I got to tell you, I put my heart and soul into it, and I think this is going to be yet another program that over-delivers for you. Bill, it's been an incredible pleasure to have you on this show. We covered some outstanding information. Thanks a million for being here.
Anytime, Scott, man. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you betcha. And this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications. Until I talk at you again real soon, gentlemen, be good out there.
The Chick Whisperer Podcast is copyright 2009 by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to sign up for the XMY Communications newsletter at www.thechickwhisperer.com. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Chick Whisperer Podcast.